Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. Evan, how are things out in the great state of Wisconsin today?
Things are great. The Wisconsin Badgers got a victory over Illinois, which is always fun to do. It's always fun when we beat those teams in the state of Illinois. So that's always a good thing. And hopefully the Bucks can beat the Jazz tonight. So the state of Wisconsin can have some good positive stuff going for it after the now we're going to be 2 weeks on Sunday from the Packers' loss to the Falcons. So hopefully the Bucks win tonight can take a little bit of that pain off a little bit. But, you know, before we get going, I just want to, you know, I don't know if you realize this, Troy, but over the weekend, Roger Federer took down Rafael Nadal in the Australian Open Finals. Venus Williams took down Serena Williams in the women's bracket of the Australian Open Finals. Serena Williams and Roger Federer gets the win. And Tom Brady, 41 years old, 39, I think he's 39 years old, playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday. Yeah, 39 years old Tom Brady. And typically, Troy, when athletes get to a certain age, they fall off a cliff. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this later on in the show. But typically when athletes get to a certain age, they fall down a cliff. It's just natural. Father Time is undefeated. Father Time always wins. But these guys and ladies have found a way to delay Father Time. And I'm going to tell, and I can't speak for, Venus and Serena or the Federer and Nadal per se, but Tom Brady I can because how he eats and takes care of himself is really well known. There's other than the bank account, there's really not a huge difference between Tom Brady, Federer, Nadal, the Williams sisters, and you and I. There's really not a huge difference besides the athletic ability and the bank account. The difference is they're still playing a peak performance well into their 30s. Because of one simple thing, they take care of themselves. You know, they don't eat crap. They don't drink crap. They take care of themselves. They eat the right food. They exercise and they take care of their body. And it's easy to do that. And you know, some people think it's hard because we never have any time in the world. You know, we're always busy. We're always on the go. How do I have time to eat healthy? But the thing is, you can. You do have time. You just got to prioritize yourself. And you yourself should be the top priority over everything. You should put yourself number one. And I know it sounds selfish because you always say you should take care of others, but if you're not taking care of yourself, how do you take care of others? And that's something that took me a long time to learn. So the easy thing, I can help you with that, is what I do is eat following 21-day fix, workout right now doing Body Beats, but I've done a lot of different Beats Body programs. But they have a lot of stuff that can help you with all of that. So if you want to learn more, you just got to, you know, contact me at EvanWithSports on Twitter, CoachEvan66@gmail.com. So, Troy, like I said, we're going to go more into that later on in the show. But I just wanted to throw that out there that besides a supermodel wife, and the bank account and the athletic ability, there's not a whole lot of difference to Tom Brady and you and I. So, but anyways, lots to talk about today. LeBron James and Charles Barkley are having a feud. John Lynch is now a general manager. And before we get any further into that, how are things out in Western PA?
Relieved. I feel a burden of relief today for loyal listeners who find us every night at 11 o'clock wondering why there was no show last night. Like, you and I almost forgot what day it was. But you can point the finger at me because I had a tooth incident, Evan. I was telling you before the show. And, boy, anybody that's had a damaged tooth knows what I'm talking about. And just an old soccer injury with a chipped tooth and the way they repaired it and you know, I had a mishap. Well, I wouldn't even say a mishap, just time. It's been when I was at the dentist today, this dentist had repaired it, I think, 7 years ago. And so it just came loose and basically lost half my tooth last night, Evan. I was telling you the short story. It looked like I went 10 rounds with Evander Holyfield. But today now, I got a nice smile. I got a nice grill. My teeth are all smooth. Everything is great today. And a good show in store. Like you said, the headline news, a lot of stories that are intriguing. John Lynch, can't wait to talk about that one. Kind of in my mind, whoa, where did that come from? Almost kind of out of left field. But we're going to start with LeBron and Charles Barkley. And there's always something during the NBA season, Evan, where Charles Barkley will – it's almost like he likes to start these little feuds. He's a guy, when you watch him on – I believe it's TNT. But when you watch him, he is not afraid to voice his opinion. He is not afraid to ruffle feathers. He's not afraid to call players out. That's Charles Barkley, and that's what we come accustomed to with Charles Barkley, the analyst. But now there's a little feud going on, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, and we're going to get...
Yeah, well, Charles Barkley is with TNT. He's with Shaquille O'Neal and Kenny Smith and those guys. And LeBron James has publicly come out kind of being critical of ownership and management for the Cavaliers because they're not doing enough to help the Cavaliers win. Now, the Cavaliers are likely going to be the Eastern Conference representatives in the NBA Finals, but the way the Cavaliers are currently constructed, and we talked a little bit about this last week, they are not going to win an NBA title. They're going to get ran out of the court against the Warriors. So Charles Barkley came out and called basically LeBron being whiny. Calling him whiny. He's being whiny. And LeBron... LeBron didn't hold back. LeBron is typically one to hold back and doesn't come out and do things like this. But he went on the attack. He took the kid gloves off and went on the attack against Charles Barkley. He basically took all of Charles Barkley's dirty laundry tray and threw it in the front yard. That's basically what LeBron James did. He threw all of Charles Barkley's dirty laundry in the front yard. And for all the neighbors to see, all the passing by cars to see. And, you know, here's the exact quote. He's a hater. What makes what he says credible? Because he's on TV. He then proceeded to say, "I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like that. I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Las Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years, never got in trouble, respected the game, print that," is what he had to say. And Dwayne Wade then comes out publicly and says about the criticism. Thank God he finally said something. LeBron, a lot of guys take a lot of shots at him for whatever reason. He just kept his mouth closed and continued to focus on what he needs to do. But it's about time he said something now. Guys ride him, especially ex-players. When you have a history, when you can go and Google your history, you better be a little careful with what you say. Sometimes when guys get a microphone in front of their face, they just talk and talk and talk and forget about their history. We all make that mistake, but especially that guy on TV, he's acting like he just walks on water, and I like the fact that LeBron called him out and told him about himself a little bit. Humble yourself. LeBron is who he is. We all have flaws, but when your flaws are a little bit more, you should shut up. I'm glad LJ finally said something and stood up for himself from that standpoint. He said there's a new sheriff in town, and I'm excited to see what's next. So I kind of was going back and forth with this back pretty much all evening, John. And then right before the show, right before you called in, I found that quote by Dwayne Wade. And do I think LeBron may have took it a little far? Well, yeah, I think he might have took it a little far. He You know, not only did he throw the dirty laundry on the front yard, he made sure he threw the dirty underwear on the front yard too. You know, the ones that are tatted and holed and dirty. He threw all those in the front yard too. But I think Dwayne Wade has a big made a huge point. You know, basically, you know, Wade is saying, to basically paraphrase them, those that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. We all know Charles Barkley's past, but some of it public knowledge, some of it, I don't know if it's public knowledge or not, but we all know Charles Barkley's past. We know about the plate glass window incident. We know about the I'm not a role model, which I don't necessarily disagree with. And we know about the spitting on the kid in that. LeBron's done everything the right way his entire career. And, you know, we all get to that breaking point. I know you know what I'm talking about, Troy. We can't take it anymore. You know, somebody not only crossed that red line, but they took a crap on the other side of it before crossing back over. That is what LeBron felt Charles Barkley did, and he let him have it. And I think Barkley's going to think twice before going after somebody again. You know, you look like a guy like John Gruden, who's Mr. Friendly all the time. I'm not saying Barkley needs to be Mr. Friendly all the time, but maybe Barkley should be a little bit more like John Gruden. So I do have to side with LeBron on this. I actually changed because I was going to say Barkley's in the wrong, but James shouldn't have said anything. But I like the fiery attitude. So what are your thoughts on LeBron's comments about Charles Barkley throwing the dirty laundry in the front yard?
Well, let's put it this way. Like I said, I think Charles Barkley is that guy that, they always tell you when you're working with social media is to read before you click. But Charles Barkley, when he is talking, does not do that. He talks, and then he doesn't think before he talks. I'm not saying he's not an intelligent guy, and maybe he does it intentionally. But a lot of times he's shooting, says it straight from the heart. But at the end of the day, the comments by Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, you and I do sports talk. We do a number of projects. We do this show. We are, let's put it this way, we are sometimes politically correct in the fact that we only talk when we have the fact and we voice our opinion when we have opinion. The problem with Charles Barkley, Evan, is that he has been that guy that is not friendly, so to speak. It's almost like he's the renegade. He is the bad guy. And so you kind of get that persona. And so when he shoots it out there, it's going to strike a nerve. And I think many times, like I said, does he do it on purpose? I think maybe sometimes he wants to go down that road. And then when he starts talking about, I want to strike a nerve, he may go just a bit too far. LeBron James and what he's talking about, many people do call him a whiner, do say, just be quiet. Look what you've been dealt. Look at the hand you've been dealt. But the thing is, Evan, how many other superstars, if they come out and say, I don't think ownership is doing enough, is this just going to get brushed under the rug? It's LeBron James. So everything LeBron James says is under a microscope. And this team is or has talent, let's put it that way. And they're playing in a weak division. And I think LeBron James wants to win another title. So he came out and said what he wanted to say. So I kind of went in a circle there because I think there's validity on both sides. But the way Charles Barkley does things, Evan, and we always talk about this, perception is reality. The perception is Charles Barkley is a punk, and he says stuff off the cuff. He says stuff to strike a nerve. And whether or not he meant it that way, that's how it came out. So, yes, LeBron James took offense, started shooting back. And so all of a sudden you got this little ticky-tack word of wars going on. And to me, I don't like that. I don't like that whole scenario, Evan, of now we're getting this fight back with words thing. To me, it's like, how really we're going to go down this road? But at the end of the day, it's like the bully in school. Charles Barkley's the bully, and he's fighting with words. And so finally, the guy getting bullied says, enough is enough. I have no problem with LeBron James fighting back. I don't like it. It's just like tick for tack. But you're absolutely right. When you're going to start shooting back and you're going to start attacking someone personally, sometimes you got to stand up for yourself. And that's what I think LeBron James did. Now, back to the point, I'm not saying I 100% agree with the way that LeBron James did it. I don't. You know, as far as is he whining? No, I don't think he's whining. I think he's talking in reality. And out in Western PA, Evan, there's a guy in the Sixers, TJ McConnell, who played for Arizona, that is having a very good season right now in Philadelphia, and his name is coming up as possibly going to Cleveland. So I know a lot about this because McConnell's a Pittsburgh guy. And so that was on sports radio today. And so LeBron James wanted to light the fire, Evan, to say, look, I understand what it takes to win an NBA title. This team right now, the way that we're operating with injuries and things that are going on, yeah, we may get to the final, but we're not going to win. And LeBron James wants to win. So, again, the way he did it originally with ownership, maybe not the right way, what LeBron James did with Charles Barkley, I have no problem with him standing up for himself once you get bullied. Charles Barkley opened up his mouth. He's got to be ready to take it back. I think what happens a lot of times with Barkley, Evan, is that he says it because he is on TV. He's that guy that shoots from the cuff, and nobody talks back. And so if nobody talks back, he's going to keep doing it. Maybe this will, and it probably won't. Knowing Charles Barkley from watching him as a commentator, he's not going to stop. He probably is eating this a lot. And he is a guy, though, when you look at it, Evan, that does have a lot of baggage behind him. And LeBron James, if people want to say, well, he hit below the belt, once you start criticizing somebody, you had best be able to hang in the fire because you opened up gasoline can and the gasoline's going on the fire. So at the end of the day, Evan, I look at this, the whole thing, in my opinion, I don't like it, the way that it went down, but it did go down. And so when you look at whose side are you going to take, I'm glad LeBron James shot back. And then you go peel the onion back one more level. I would have to agree that the way LeBron James did it, maybe not the best way to do it. So there's a number of layers that go on with this feud. But at the end of the day, good for LeBron James.
Fire yeah, back. I agree. Yeah, I agree. Good for LeBron. The way he did it may not be the best, like you said, but I'm kind of glad he did it. He stood up for himself, and that, you know, Michael Jordan wouldn't have let people get away with that, and it may not change Charles Barkley because Barkley's still going to be Charles Barkley. But it may stop the next guy. It may stop the next guy from you know, being overly critical. Who knows? So, moving on, the San Francisco 49ers, and I read this analogy, and I kind of agreed with it on USA Today, their site. The San Francisco 49ers basically test drove every car on the lot, and they settled for John Lynch to be their general manager. They test drove every SUV, and they settled with a potential clunker. So, not saying Lynch isn't going to be successful, but, you know, I'm gonna give the listeners a quick second to Google John Lynch and figure out his personnel experience. Here's the thing. You're not going to find any. He has no NFL front office experience. And I know John Elway didn't either. You know, John Lynch has been a television broadcaster now for the past several years. Not a very good one, but he's been one. So, I guess I'm not criticizing the fact that the 49ers are giving Lynch an opportunity. You know, if Lynch surrounds himself with football people, good for him. If he surrounds himself with very strong supporting cast, really good for him. It showed that he is intelligent like people say that he is. However, a six-year contract, he's getting a six-year contract, and he's got no experience. He's never run an NFL front office before. He's never been a scout before. All he has on his resume, really, is he was a very good NFL safety. Potential Hall of Famer. Should he be a Hall of Famer over Leroy Butler? No, but that's another topic for another day. But he's now the general manager of the 49ers and likely going to be his coach who was selected before him is going to be Kyle Shanahan. Now, I guess Kyle Shanahan had to give the okay. So the head coach had to give the okay on who's going to be his boss for the next 6 years. Now, is either of them going to last all 6 years? The odds are against the Packers situation where the head football coach of the Green Bay Packers needs to give the job security status of his boss. It's kind of the same thing. Kyle Shanahan is giving the okay on who his boss is going to be. And I know they got to be able to work together. They got to be able to get along kind of thing. And they have a past relationship with John Lynch was in Denver. But I just look at it, Troy, and I have a hard time seeing this be successful. And here's the thing. If it's not successful the way San Francisco handled it, the search for GM and all the money and time and hours they spent. Good luck finding somebody new in 2 to 3 years if this doesn't work out. I feel this is absolutely ridiculous. So what are your thoughts? John Lynch, the new general manager of the 49ers.
I get to pull out the word crazy talk, Evan. It's crazy talk. You're a franchise in disarray. You're a franchise that at one time was the cream of the game, and you stumbled down the hill, and now you're at the bottom of the hill, and it's almost like one of those avalanches, and then at the bottom of the avalanche, there's an earthquake with the earth opening up. That's where the San Francisco franchise is right now. You had a coach that had brought you, and you know, it brought you back a little bit. You were actually surviving the avalanche of some bad years, and you had a guy named Harbaugh. And then all of a sudden that just ended abruptly and very ugly. And now you're, I don't want to say you're a laughing stock, but you're in disarray. You've got a roster that is depleted beyond belief.
The Browns are more stable than they are right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't call them a laughing stock, though, but there's just a lot of instability, a roster that is not full of a lot of talent, quarterback situation. Coaches have went in that and, you know, around the turnstile. And you're looking at what they've done now. A good young head, or good prospective coach, that, you know, a good resume. Okay, so you get a good coach. Well, there's very few coaches in my mind, Evan, that can really take limited talent and turn them into Super Bowl champions. One, Belichick, but he's got a quarterback. Yeah, you have to have a quarterback. And I know Shanahan will probably try to get a quarterback maybe. I don't know. We'll see what he does. But he's an unproven coach from the aspect of, you know, the head coaching. And then you bring in a guy to make personnel decisions in John Lynch. And you know what? John Lynch, in my mind, Evan, a good safety, played in a good system, good hard-nosed player. I know that he's a Hall of Fame finalist. I mean, for a different day and a different conversation, do I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame? You look at what he did and at his position, okay, maybe you can make that argument. But he was a feared safety when you played against John Lynch. But is that going to equate to doing your job as a general manager? Right now, Evan, I scratch my head so hard with this that I may be pulling some of my skin out of my hair or off my scalp. I just don't understand what you're thinking. one part of this tells me, this is really what I thought immediately when John Lynch got hired. Nobody else in the NFL world wants to touch the 49ers with a 10-foot pole. That's how much disarray is going on in that organization. All they could get was Lynch. And again, I'm not saying that he won't turn out to be a good GM, but he has no experience. And you're a program and an organization that needs to turn it around. Why are you going with somebody with no experience? And why won't that experienced GM step in those doors? I think there's some big, major dysfunctional things going on in San Francisco, and I think John Lynch is going to get eaten alive, Evan. He may be a good, strong personality, but that if nobody else wanted that job and he was actually like your pick, then I think, my God, no wonder you're dysfunctional. But really, I believe, totally my opinion, that none of the experienced GMs or even the guys that were on the cusp that are assistant GMs that have been in front offices, they're like, screw that. I'm not taking that job as my first job. I don't want to get thrown to the wolves. I don't want to get eaten alive. And John Lynch being a guy like, oh, yeah, I'd like to be a GM. I think it would be cool to try it. He's going to get eaten up, spitting out, thrown under the bus. He's going to be that guy in the woods, Evan, that's lost, that has no food, no flashlight, no shelter, no clothes. And I think he is going to get eaten alive just because of the dysfunctionality in San Francisco. That's what I got.
Yeah, I think you said it best. If John Lynch doesn't work out and he gets terminated, then it's no one's going to touch this job with a 10-foot pole. You've got Elliot Wolf and another Packer front office guy turned the job down. They pulled their name out for running, and they couldn't find anybody. And the search was a complete disaster. The 49ers are a hot mess. Because I kind of interrupted you, the Cleveland Browns seem to have a better run organization right now. We know the mess the Cleveland Browns are in. They seem to have a better organization right now, more than the 49ers. The 49ers, as we said, is in a complete disarray, and it's hard seeing that because anytime you have a team that has the history that the 49ers bring with them, it's very hard seeing them look the way they are right now. So it'll be interesting to see what Lynch does. Like I was saying, Lynch is a smart man. Went to Stanford. What I've read and heard, he knows football pretty well. But now it's going to be interesting to see what he can do. Can he turn things around, or is there going to be more of the same status quo in San Francisco? And with that, it's time to finish the show already. And I'm not going to it's starting to look like that old is the new black, as Roger Federer, Serena Williams both won Australian Open. And you also had Tom Brady at 39 looking like he's 10 years younger. So look for old guys to make big impacts in 2017. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think Tiger Woods, by the end of 2017, I think Tiger Woods will possibly win a major tournament by the end of 2017. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk some New England Patriots, the Patriots way. And why are the Patriots so successful? That's what I want to dive into tomorrow, Troy. Why are the Patriots so successful? So I'm going to throw it back to you to let the listeners go.
Well, another great show in the books. And like you said, I want to touch on your Tiger Woods thing. I think that's a bold prediction, Evan. I'm not sure if he's going to win a major, but I think Tiger – and I don't want to say he's back, but I want to look at this that at least I think he's focused on golf, and I think over the course of the year that you're going to see Tiger improve, and I think you'll see him in one of these majors making that move so that Tiger Woods is being talked about again. I'm not going to go as far as you did, say that he'll win a major, but I think there's going to be one where he gets in contention to get his name talking about him again. Golf is such a fickle game, and it's a game of confidence. And I think right now where Tiger Woods is that he took a lot of years to play limited events. And, you know, he's not even probably playing a full schedule in the minds of the golf people. But I think Tiger's going to regain his confidence. There's going to be that major tournament where he makes that move, and he's going to get his name back in the media frenzy. Because I've followed him a little bit. I know the old comeback trail, but, you know, if he's smarter about the way that talked about that earlier in the show, he's had a lot of injuries, spent a lot of downtime in the world of golf. He's getting older, and he's got to play a different type of game. You know, he's just not power Tiger anymore. So we'll see how that equates, and especially when you lose that power game, you've got to be a little smarter. You got to be a little more fundamentally sound. And some of those things in Tiger's game have not always been the best. And we'll see how his confidence level plays out through the year. But I think he's going to – I don't think he's going to fall flat on his face. I'm not going to go quite as far as saying that he's going to win. That's a bold prediction on your side. And I like it. I like your prediction. But I think you're going to see Tiger hold his own. I think you're going to see Tiger gain some confidence, and I think you'll see him in a major, or maybe two, where he makes that run and is maybe near the top of the leaderboard after day two, or, you know, in the hunt on day four. So it'll be interesting to follow. So there might be some interesting golf topics this year for us on the Red Light Sports Ramble, Evan. But with that said, everyone, hope you enjoyed the show tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas, Evan, and I'll get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, as Evan stated, talking about why are the Patriots so good. Have a good night, everyone.